Welcome to the Vinyasa Chick podcast, just for today, where we talk about something for just today. My name is Haley Duggan, aka Vinyasa Chick, and I'm so grateful that you are listening today. We're going to start this podcast with a moment to reflect on something that you're grateful for right here, exactly where you are. We have so much to be grateful for, and usually we take this life for granted. And when we start to pay attention, we begin to realize how abundant our lives truly are, and our view, our vibe, and how we interact with the world around us starts to shift. So make shift happen. Pause the podcast and think about what you're grateful for right here and right now. And today, I'm grateful that I was able to catch up with my mom this morning. We have this ritual every Wednesday morning after I teach my class early in the morning that I call her. She's an hour behind, and so it's kind of like as she's waking up and getting started. And we had missed our weekly call now for like 3 or 4 weeks, so we needed that check-in. So I was really glad that her timing and my timing worked out today. I was glad to have that conversation with my mom. So moving on into today's episode of the Just for Today podcast, we are going to be talking about competition in the yoga world. And I have got my student, teacher, sound guru, podcast wizard, Ian Bonema. Yay, Ian, thank you for joining us.
Great introduction. I appreciated that. Every bit of it was right on the money.
The podcast wizard was my favorite.
Yeah. This has been a process for sure. I've really enjoyed working on these podcasts. It's always a great time. I think we both learn a ton doing these things.
Every time we learn a lot, yeah. Every time, and I'm grateful, really grateful for you, because without you, literally this wouldn't be happening at all. So thanks for letting me come and invade your space and take all of your outlets for all of our technology.
Yeah.
And
we need a lot of outlets and for this.
Set up camp in the living room here, so it's pretty great.
Yeah, I agree.
So today, yeah, we're going to talk about competition in the yoga world. And one of the first things that I think we should talk about is why we compete overall in our life in the first place. And of course, it leads into the yoga practice. So Ian, why do you think it is that we compete so much?
Well, for me, the way I kind of think about it is it's such a basic survival instinct that we have. And it's one of those things that we kind of use wrong.
Sure.
Now. It's, you know, when we were out on the plains and we were hunter-gatherers and we had to feed ourselves and we had to run from saber-toothed tigers and we had to do all these things, competition and having this feeling of wanting to compete it served a purpose.
Yeah.
And now we have that instinct and we have that feeling, especially I think, now, I don't want to go male, female, but sure. I mean, guys in general have a very strong need to compete.
Yes.
And it's something that gets cultivated from a very young age. And so I see somebody doing their handstand and walking around on their hands and doing all these fancy things. And it's like, wow, you know, I should be able to do that.
Sure.
And it's like, well, maybe, but maybe not. And it's just such a natural, it's such a part of our nature that it just comes naturally for us to kind of have that. And that's, for me, that can be a part of my yoga a lot of the time to see that, identify it.
Yes.
And then let it go.
Sure. Yep. Noticing. Say, okay, yeah, here I am competing.
Yep. This is where I am. And this is, and then to toss something on top of that instinct is the society that we live in has sort of mm-hmm. built on that.
Yes.
And it's like everything that we do, grades, salaries, titles, everything, it's all competition. Everybody yeah. competes to get,
sure.
you know, you, I think you were talking earlier about scarcity,
yeah.
that we all believe that there's this scarcity of resources out there that if we don't get ours, mm-hmm. what would happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's possible to get to, you know, work hard and improve little by little every day, and not necessarily have to worry about what the guy next door, the guy next to you in the yoga class, or your coworker is doing necessarily.
Yeah.
And it might drive them nuts.
I know.
But I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, so I think we have two strikes against us right out of the gate, right? Yeah. Nature. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't even want to use that the term really, but it's like, and nurture.
Sure.
You know, society is a society, what society considers nurture.
Yes.
So nature and nurture, strike one, strike two.
Yeah.
And so it's overcoming those two obstacles first.
Yeah.
And feeling them and understanding them.
Sure. And I love that part that you said, that when you feel yourself doing it, it's just to acknowledge it and just notice when it's present. I think that's the first step. I always tell people the first step is to just pay attention and notice when it's coming up.
Yeah, I think it's like a meditative thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you're meditating, stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And we talk about, well, then when we you see it, you acknowledge it.
Right.
And then you let it go. It's the, you know, the clouds moving across the sky that is your mind.
Right.
I love that. I love that picture.
Yeah.
In the meditation.
Yeah. And so, when do you think that, and specifically in the yoga practice, when do you think that we're tempted to start competing or find that competitive attitude with what we're doing?
I mean, I think a lot of it is when it has to do with our expectations of ourselves.
Sure.
You know, it's like you have a day and you're next to a couple people and they're beginners. I should be able to take so much better a downward dog than they can. I know this stuff so much better. And it's like, and then you really take a look at yourself and you're like, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I a mess? I'm a mess because I'm not thinking about where my practice is today.
Yeah. We're missing the point when we do that, right? Just a little bit.
We are.
Yeah, we're missing the boat. Yeah.
You know, I should understand this better. I'm a yoga teacher.
That's why I'm laughing, just because it's ridiculous. Yeah. But we do it. You know,
I should know this. Oh God, I'm a yoga teacher.
And it's like, should be perfect at this point. Oh my God, I'm in my final form. I should know.
We've heard all these. And it's like, then you hear Iyengar say, you know, you could spend your whole time as in yoga doing nothing but working on different variations of downward dog.
Yes.
And it's like,
what?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Pick one pose. Pick one asana. It's like, but isn't there like 200 of them or 300
so
of them?
So many choices.
Yeah. And so we look at that and we're thinking, I'm in a room full of beginners. It's like, this should be, I should have no problem with this and I should be showing them what to do and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's all inside. That's all upstairs.
Yep.
Practice. Take it from the beginning. That beginner's mindset is such a valuable, it's a valuable asset to us to cultivate rather than
the know-it-all.
You know, say, I already know all this stuff.
Right.
It's like, no, there's something there that you haven't heard before.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, I just had a recent somewhat epiphany in feet position in Warrior Two.
Sure.
Somebody said something and I'm like, I'd never heard that before. And I've taken God knows how many Warrior Twos. And I'm just like, oh, well now I need to think about this differently again.
Right.
It's like, I don't know.
Sure.
And so that's I think it's important. So it's like just understanding that you don't know.
Yeah.
And then the other one is when we see someone else doing something that we're just positive that we can do. And it might not be in the cards for you today. I mean, there's been times I'm a pretty confident headstander. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I climb my way up into a headstand and I'm like, oh, right back over again. You know, and it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, it could be I had the wrong thing for breakfast.
Sure.
Maybe I've got something going on with my sinuses, which will screw with your balance, or who knows?
Yeah.
We don't give ourselves enough. We expect the exact same thing out of ourselves every single day.
Sure.
And that's another pitfall I think we fall into.
Mm-hmm. I could do it yesterday, so today it's got to be better or more or mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the other one is the sort of the rising tide lifts all boats.
Sure.
And so it's like it's the race mentality.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can get through a vinyasa faster than you, and I did three push-ups in the middle of it too.
Three extra push-ups.
Yeah, and I'm way faster than you.
Sure.
I mean, I really can't fault anyone for having that mentality right. in a yoga class, because it's like we're brought up that way.
Yeah. Here you are being human and what you know how to do. How am I going to come in here and say something right then and there to undo however many years of conditioning you've had with that experience? Like, I'm not going to change it in 75 minutes.
I said it last night in my class. I said, nobody's going to win at this yoga class,
yep.
mm-hmm. you know, or maybe we're all going to win. But there's going to be I have no gold medals to give out, or no one gold medal to give out.
Sure.
But I think there's a way that you can use the group yoga class has value in that the energy around you in the class does allow for you to maybe push yourself just a little bit more.
Sure.
But it's just like, I just feel like it's you want it to come from the right place.
Yeah.
That's the key, I think. Yeah. That's where the mind and the body thing come into play.
Yeah.
Is between those two.
Sure.
So that's what happens in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
Yeah, I think that, just like you said, you've got people in there that are, well, I'm going to do the most chaturangas. I'm going to do the most push-ups. And it's like, well, what's the value in that for you? Is that what you want to do? Have you defined your level of success through push-ups? I don't know of any other place where we really do that other than like Guinness World Book of Records stuff, you know? And
ooh, like that lady that planked for 4 hours.
4 hours.
I just can't imagine
that. Brian and I were talking about that. I was like, of course it's a woman. Whoa.
Yeah, good for her. That's a long plank.
It's a long plank. Next time you bitch about 10 seconds, I'm going to bring out the 4 hours.
I'm
going to
count down from five. It's like, give me a break. This lady did it for 4 hours. We'll put her picture on the wall.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, so what do you think that we should do when we have someone who is competing next to us in a yoga class?
Oh, yeah. I've had that for sure. There's a few things I thought of. One is, I always think that in a class period is a great time to practice, you know, some pratyahara. And that's to turn in your senses inward and just and closing your eyes and just feeling what's happening in your body and in your mind, and try to let that go. They're going to do.
Sure.
And then that just goes next up is to focus on your own practice. But don't let somebody else take it over.
Right.
That sucks. You came to take a class and enjoy it. And I mean, I've been there. I've been in a class where I'm like,
yeah,
this person is obviously trying to somehow, and I'm not really sure how you do it, but they're like obviously trying to either like show off or somehow compete with the people around them. And I'm just like, I don't know how you, what rating system are you using? You know, right. It's like, how are you rating this?
Right.
To make it, I won the yoga.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
I know.
It doesn't really work like that. And then the next thing would be, it's just, if you have a set, if you have the ability to, and class hasn't started or something, you can always move.
Yeah.
And just move over and just think, oh, this corner looks a little better for me.
Yeah.
I always use the excuse, I'm going to need a wall to prop myself up on eventually here.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
It's not because you smell. It's just because I need to be by this wall.
It's because I smell.
It's because I smell. This is for you. It's a labor of love on my part.
That's right. It's for your, for your benefit. But, you know, I think yoga classes are, they should be welcoming. They should be comfortable in.
Yeah.
It should be a sanctuary.
Yeah.
And it's not always a sanctuary.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told you my story, one of my early yoga classes, one of the first times I ever set foot in a yoga class. I came in and it was packed. The room was packed full of people, and I made the mistake of rolling my mat out too close to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got accosted, and I could not believe, I was like, and I actually walked out of the room. I was like, no, I'm not going to
do that.
Practice today.
Sure.
And actually, Maria talked me into going back. She found me a spot, and she got me all tucked in, but I was just like,
I can't
come in. It was already, it was like my second yoga class or something like that. It was already a stretch to be in that room.
Right.
And then to have somebody.
Sure.
What, you're way too close. To the, I was like, whoa. And just people get, you know, people get territorial.
Yeah, they do.
And sometimes it's a real, thing. But there's really, you know, then you go to New York and you got marks on the floor.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is where you put your mat.
Right.
And you put your mat there because there's nowhere else to put your mat.
Right. People, yeah, they complain about being too close at our studio. And we've got a really big space. And, I mean, at my mom's studio that she practices with in Birmingham, there's, I mean, maybe an inch in between your mat and everyone's around you. And it's like half the size of our studio and like 42 people packed in there. And people complain. They're like, their mat's too close to mine. I'm like, I can stand in between the two of you and reach my arms out and not touch you. Like, you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, this is not that bad.
We are extremely blessed when it comes to space.
They just don't know.
In the studio.
Yeah.
Because, I've been to some where it's like, I'm in a closet.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm in a closet right now.
I'm pretty sure your sweat just got all over me, my neighbor. You know, like, you're just flinging it everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you think as a teacher, like, what do you do as a teacher? How do you feel that you can help, not necessarily avoid, because you can't, you know, coerce someone else's experience, but how are ways that you've found in your teaching that you address the level of competition that you may feel is happening in a class?
That's a good question. For me, I always feel like just kind of slowing things down and just saying, you know, hey, let's go through, let's just take the vinyasa apart piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take something really basic.
Yeah.
And go through it slowly.
Sure.
I mean, that slow flow, some of the hardest classes I've ever been in has been quote unquote slow flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about a challenge.
Yeah.
Just to move through these poses slowly.
Yeah.
And get, try, and this is one I love to do, and I see people just like flip so fast and flip right over. It's like the flip dog thing. And I'm like, take it slow.
Dude, go slow.
Now stop 1 inch above the floor. That's my favorite. Stop 1 inch above the floor and hold it.
Yeah.
And hold it for a breath in and a breath out. And then lightly and slowly touch down. And I'll look around the room while that's going on and nobody will, you know, I'll see very few trying to take it because they're like, no way, look cool. Look at my wild thing. I just popped over and flipped my dog. And it's like, it's not as bad when you do it that way.
Right.
Well, it's not as much of a strength building exercise.
Right.
Because we do want to build some strength in our bodies. We want to be able to handle and hold our bodies with some confidence and some strength.
Yeah.
We want to be able to hold up our bodies and move.
Good body mechanics.
Yeah. It's just like, because what happens is if we do this now, when we get older and we start to, things start to, you know, eventually everyone who's listening to this is going to get there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you lay a good foundation now, you're going to have it your whole life.
Sure.
So if you're just flipping over just because you think it's cool, you might consider taking it slow and trying to build some strength. Because what that, it'll also translate to your what? To your handstands, to your headstands.
It's like
all that core strength. It's funny, when I first took a headstand, I had no idea that I could do that.
Yeah.
A yoga teacher said, try it. Sure. I was like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really interested in that. But I think everybody kind of is.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I liked the method of getting there where you do the foundation first.
Yeah.
You do all the essential, you do the Tadasana, you get your down dog in a place that, that's a good, beneficial down dog. That's a good place to start from.
Sure.
And rather than, well, I'm going to practice my handstand for 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You can do that. But I would say that you're probably missing out on some good stuff.
Yes.
And it's like, and it's fun, and it makes you look cool in a mm-hmm. class if you can mm-hmm. pull off a really nice handstand.
Oh, my gosh. But exactly.
I love, Warrior 2 has its place.
Yes.
And all those other things. So.
All right. So how do you think that if you have someone that is next to you and is competing, and maybe you're even competing with yourself, so how do you deal with that?
Big part of yoga for me is letting go.
Yeah.
And recognizing that's what's going on and letting go, being able to kind of step outside of yourself and your neighbor and really what the teacher's talking about and what the temperature is in the room.
Sure.
I mean, you think about it, if you're in a hot room, I think it increases the potential for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a discussion with this yesterday with somebody. But as you see as the summer wears on, and you get into this August, September here in the South where we are, you see tempers flare, like you see the heat increase, and
sure.
you see people on the road being more angry and all those things. And so I think, when you're in that hot room, there's another challenge that gets presented.
Sure.
Where it's like your attitude might be a little hotter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... So it's not all a workout. I hear a lot of teachers say it's a work in
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recognizing, and it's that awareness, and then that letting go piece that is really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Because you're like, no, I should be able to do this.
The shoulds.
I should. And it's not necessarily. The answer is not necessarily. And sometimes it's like, when I teach restorative classes, I wish that people would have more. Sometimes I wish there was more of a competitive nature in that class. It's like, I was able to completely relax and not fidget for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Way to go, me. When you're competing with yourself, you're letting yourself draw the line.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, I see people in restorative classes, and I'm like, you can't sit still.
Yes.
For more than 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And you're
at a
moving.
Time.
Yeah. It's like, that's a practice that you need to adopt.
So, and for those of you who are listening and don't know, in restorative classes, Ian and I both also teach restorative and vinyasa. They're kind of like very opposite practices.
Yeah, it's the yin to the yang.
And in restorative, like, you maybe will do like less than 6 poses in a class.
Right.
And so like in a vinyasa class, I can't even count how many poses you'll do, like a bazillion.
Yeah.
A bazillion poses. So especially for people that are, and most of us are, we identify that at the beginning, like very competitive, moving on to the next thing. For me to tell you that today we're doing 6 poses.
Right.
And like the look that you get, people are like, well, I mean,
6 poses, 10 minutes.
I don't know how I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know how you're going to do it either, but we're going to try.
And the person sitting next to you is going to do better than you.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to cultivate that kind of a room? In some ways, it's almost like, please just relax. They're going to relax better.
I know. Oh my God, I know.
Because people don't do it.
No, we don't relax. We don't sit still.
Yeah, we don't relax. We don't sit still. It's, in fact, it's like, people look at it as like a detriment.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You just sat around all day?
Yeah.
I guess we did.
Yep.
And there needs to be rest. So it's letting go, and it's understanding too that. And the other piece I think is like with a vinyasa style class, it's a breath and it's a movement.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I do is I say, look, you need to move how you breathe.
Right.
And if it's slower than the person next to you, that's okay. If it's faster than the person next to you, that's okay. But don't hold your breath and do 16 push-ups.
Sure.
That might have a bad result. Maybe.
We don't know.
The other, it's like I like this self-compassion piece, understanding what you're what your limitations are, and that every day is not going to be the same. The other one that I'm always so careful with this. You know, I like the idea of the I am enough mantra, but we just have to be careful we're not using that as an escape valve.
Sure.
You really have to examine yourself when you say something like that. I am enough. Okay, am I saying that from a place of I've done everything I've truly done? So it's practicing your truthfulness piece there. I've honestly done everything I feel like I could do.
Yeah.
Or is it like,
yeah,
I'd rather go eat a tube of cookie dough and sit on the couch and watch, I don't know, what's everybody watching? Game of Thrones? Sure. That's over, right? Yeah. But that's a tough mantra. We have to be careful with that.
Sure.
Otherwise, it becomes less a mantra and more an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy one for that one to be. More so, I think, than others.
Yeah.
It can become a, no worries, I'm enough. You know, I'm going to go back to bed. So I know we also talked, you and I, a little bit about just like the whole competition as yoga, you know, yoga businesses and yoga, the social media piece and all that is like, that's a thing too.
Yeah.
It's like all these studios and trying to compete with each other and clothes and, videos and stuff you do at home, and it's a real boom that we're living in.
Yeah,
yoga. Everybody's a yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. Everybody's, and it's like that whole, and they're all. There's a lot of competition that happens with that. I don't know how do you personally deal with that, Haley?
Oh my God. Okay, so yeah, great question. So. Sometimes I'm not really sure how I deal with it. How about that? I'll just tell you my thoughts on it.
Because
sometimes, honestly, I don't know how to deal with it because the word competition and yoga, like, do not go in the same sentence.
Yeah, they're like, they clash
real hard.
A lot.
Real hard. Like, we preach about, you know, self-acceptance, truthfulness, and all these things. But then also, like, you want your yoga studio or your classes or your Instagram to be the most and the best. It's like, I don't really know how those go together. And so I really think it goes into when competition shows up in the yoga business. And I mean, it is like business is competitive and it just so happens the market is yoga. So, but the ego comes into a lot of competition, obviously, like what am I going to get out of this?
Sure.
Or what's in it for me? Or mine's going to be better. And this is how and why you should do yoga with me versus Ian or somebody, you know,
right?
Whoever.
It's what's motivating you?
Sure.
So who's driving the bus?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the ego or is it
something else?
How can I serve my students?
Right. Or my community or my community. And so I think how we can deal with competition in the yoga world, and this is just, you know, my two cents on it, whatever. You can flush it down the toilet. I don't care. But you just have to do what you're doing with respect for the practice and the deeper teaching. So like the ethics of yoga, our yama is how you interact with the world around you, and your niyama is how you interact with what's happening and like how you're dealing with it on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as you're living those principles, I think that you're pretty much okay. And like a part of one of those principles, aparigraha, is non-grasping, non-hoarding. And so that's the whole like, well, I want my classes to be full.
Right.
And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like the other day I had 6 people in a class that usually has 25 and it was awesome. And I wasn't like, oh my God, where is everyone? I was like, these 6 people are going to have the most kick-ass class.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Yeah. And that's the way sometimes it's hard to react that way.
Absolutely.
Like, why doesn't anybody like me and want to come to my class?
Why does everyone want to come to my class?
Yeah. It's like, well, just remember those. We have the tools, right? We have the 8 limbs. We have the yama, the niyama, all those pieces that we can use to really measure where our motivation is.
Sure.
And then we also have this sometimes not the best thing is this social media thing showing us all these different amazing things that people can do, and we have to, well, if I could only do that, then maybe I would get more likes too.
Yeah. So we talked about this before we started recording today, and it's something that I talked about in a previous episode about the comparison spiral.
Yeah.
But it's that whole, like, the shock value that comes with doing a really insane or advanced posture. Like, I have a picture of me on my Instagram doing Pinchamayarasana. So you're on your forearms and your legs are up in the air. Like, it looks like you're standing, but you're standing, if you're in a forearm plank and all of a sudden your toes are on the ceiling, that's what it looks like. And it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
It's a hard pose, and I'm doing it like on top of a building. So it looks like ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, sometimes that's what yoga looks like, but that's an inaccurate representation.
Maybe if it had some flames and some fireworks and stuff too, it would be really awesome.
Really just out of the top. But it's like, you know, those pictures and those images are going to get more likes and more traction than any other picture, because it's just like, wow, that's amazing. And right. You have to acknowledge that, you know, like I did a photo shoot and I was like, yeah, I need to take some of just me like sitting down and like smiling and like hanging out, because
you don't spend all your days in Pincha?
Just not always on your hands here.
You're not like, always walking around on your forearms and like looking awesome, fireworks, you know, flames.
To be truthful, time, and like when I post a picture of me just like sitting on the couch with the dogs, like I know, right. I'm like, this is going to get like a quarter of the amount of likes.
My mom's going to like this, so it's like, yeah.
Who cares, right? Yeah. But that's, you know, people are so like, oh, it has to have the most, and like you need this many whatevers, and it's just like, but what's the value in that? What's that bringing to like the practice? And that's where I decide how I make my business choices is, is this me living a value that I want to perpetuate in this world? Is this feeding another thing that like the competition aspect of what I'm doing? So I,
'cause one way or another, you're projecting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just, so you better be sure.
Yeah.
what you're doing. Right? Because even if you think, well, you can fool some of the people some of the time, right? Yeah. But not everybody. People are going to pick up on that.
Yeah. We talked about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about this. What do you think? Yeah. Sure.
So you got a hard job ahead of you now. You've got two mantras.
I know.
Or are you going to do three mantras on competition?
Right. I usually do three mantras.
Yeah.
Do you want to come up with one? Do you have one in mind? Do you want me to do one and you try one?
Yeah.
Okay. So we always do mantras at the end, or, you know, maybe it's an intention, but just for today, I'll do my best to not compete with myself or those around me.
Just for today, I will be here in the present moment on my mat.
I love that.
It's just, yeah.
Straight off the dome. Nice job. And then how about this one? Just for today, I'll let my competitive ego take the passenger seat and not rule all of my choices.
Yeah.
So those are our mantras for today. And I really appreciate Ian for joining me, Mike's side, on the podcast today. And I hope that you guys enjoyed listening. As always, it's really helpful, of course, to rate and review the podcast. And I really, 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 really appreciate you so much already just for listening. So thank you so much. Hope you have a great rest of your day.